This podcast is dedicated to educating and informing Southwest General physicians and care providers on the use of the transcatheter aortic valve replacement, or TAVR. Earlier this year, Southwest General's team of board-certified cardiovascular and cardiothoracic professionals successfully performed a groundbreaking treatment for individuals suffering from aortic valve stenosis. The transcatheter aortic valve replacement, or TAVR, procedure is a minimally invasive alternative option for patients hoping to avoid traditional open-heart surgery. Joining me is Dr. Victor K. Ruse. He's a board-certified interventional cardiologist on the medical staff at Southwest General Health Center. Welcome to the podcast from the specialists at Southwest General Health Center. I'm Melanie Cole, and we're talking with Dr. K. Ruse today. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit, as we get started here, about aortic stenosis. What's the prevalence? What are you seeing in the trends?
Aortic stenosis is a condition where the aortic valve, which separates the ventricle to the aorta, gets calcified and thickened, and the valve opening gets restricted, creating a gradient or a pressure difference between the heart and the aorta.
Doctor, how is it identified? Or when does it become apparent that the valve needs to be addressed?
So the valve gets thick and the heart starts failing. So it gets identified by patient symptoms and on physical exam by a loud murmur at early stages. At very late stages, the murmur actually gets less significant on exam. But the screening usually is done in the office through a simple auscultation.
So then what had been the standard treatment for aortic stenosis, doctor?
For many years, before I was even born, a surgical aortic valve replacement was the standard of care. Many years ago, about a decade now, they came up with an alternative treatment for patients who cannot survive open heart surgery. And so they replaced the aortic valve through the groin and other alternative access. And for the last 10 years, the technology has been exponentially growing. This become a simplified procedure where instead of sending patients to surgery for aortic valve replacement, we can do it through a catheterization.
Well, let's talk about that now. Tell us about the TAVR procedure. How is it different from the standard valve replacement you might have done? And tell us some of the benefits of it.
Historically, surgical aortic valve replacement, the surgeon removes the old valve, put the new valve in, whether it's a prosthetic, a bioprosthetic, or mechanical valve. For the TAVR, it's a transcutaneous approach. The valve is crushed and mounted on a catheter. The catheter is delivered through a big artery. In most cases, it's the groin artery. It's delivered to the heart. And then what happens is when we deploy, the valve is expandable. It expands, crushes the old native valve open, and we have a functioning new valve that functions right away as soon as we deploy it. And the old valve is just out of the picture, but it serves as an anchor for the new valve. The benefits are it's a minimally invasive procedure. Compared to surgery, the recovery time is much faster. Hospitalization time is much shorter. Patients function capacity or they go back to their life pretty quickly. There is significantly low risk of stroke and atrial fibrillation compared to surgical aortic valve replacement.
Doctor, is this a game changer? How do you see it affecting the world of cardiovascular medicine? Or do you think of it as just another tool in the cardiology world?
So it already changed the way we treat valvular heart disease and aortic stenosis. Like I said, 10 years ago, this was a big deal. The technology has expanded exponentially, and now it's a pretty simple procedure. So we started this procedure at Southwest knowing that people have been doing this for quite some time, and they learned a lot through their experience. The groundbreaking data was in 2019, where the low-risk data from two major studies, pivotal, that changed the way we treat aortic valve stenosis, where the low-risk patients got approved. So the low-risk patient who will undergo surgery, meaning a relatively healthy patient who can do well with surgery versus TAVR. And TAVR was as good and in some perspective was better than surgical aortic valve replacement. And that really has changed and allow us to treat patients in the community. And I want to point out that a lot of data showing that in the community, the number of patients treated with aortic stenosis is very low, meaning that patients with aortic stenosis are undertreated in the community because of many reasons. But the concept, the way we look at aortic stenosis, has to change. And that's why it's so important to have it available for our community and we can offer it to our patients.
Now, what about patient selection? Doctor, are there certain patients for whom this is contraindicated? Speak about patient selection a little for us.
Like I just said, in 2019, the low-risk study got published, and TAVR is as good in some aspect, better than surgery. FDA approved TAVR for low-risk patients in last year. So anyone who is referred for aortic stenosis will meet the surgeon, will meet the interventional cardiologist who does the TAVR, and the, what's called now a TAVR or a valve clinic. We will discuss in details the diagnosis of aortic stenosis. Why is it so important to talk about it? And what are the options? The majority of these patients are relatively old, so we always offer medical options, meaning just keep doing what you're doing. However, this is strictly or closely correlated to bad outcome. So if the aortic stenosis is not treated, the two-year chance of being alive is 50%. In other words, the survival rate at 2 years is at 50%. So this comes with a significant morbidity and mortality if left untreated. So the next two options, other than medical treatment, is surgery or TAVR. It's a very personalized medicine because every patient is different. We still offer surgery to most patients, and obviously patients do not want to have open heart surgery if there's an alternative to this that's as good, right? Note that the low risk or the intermediate risk patients, we have been following them for so long, only for 5 years. So we cannot say that the TAVR is going to keep working 20 years from now because the data is not available yet. But up to 5 years, the surgical valve or the TAVR is doing as good as the surgical valve at 5 years after implantation.
Doctor, what are the different approaches used to perform TAVR? Do you have any technical considerations you'd like to mention?
Yes, Melanie. So the TAVR could be done through different arteries, major arteries. We try to stick to the groin, which is the femoral artery, in 99.9% of the cases. It's easier, we know it, and it's the safest approach based on many studies. However, because patients are older, they're very sick, they're diabetic, they may have multiple other problems, we try to personalize each case or each TAVR per patient's need. So if patients having very calcified arteries, we try to approach this. So we try to treat them or protect their arteries so we're not dealing with disasters after. On the other hand, if, for example, they're having some electrical disturbances or conduction disease, meaning they have some right bundle branch block or whatnot, then we decide accordingly which valve or which TAVR we use. Like I mentioned earlier, we have two platforms. One is self-expanding and one is balloon expanding. So like I said, we tailor the treatment, the approach, the valve according to the patient's need, the characteristics, whether they have conduction disease or not, and other comorbidities, mainly peripheral arterial disease, where it can make TAVR a little more complicated.
How have been your outcomes?
Good question. So we talk about outcomes when centers have deployed hundreds of valves. Since this is a relatively new program, the outcome has been decent, but again, this is biased because the number is small yet. We have most patients go home the next day. We are below average in terms of post-TAVR pacemaker rate, below national average. We have not had any vascular complications, no death, MI, or stroke.
That's a good point you make about the numbers. So speak about the support that patients need after the procedure, doctor. What's life like before TAVR and after? And if it's a multidisciplinary approach, speak about that and why it's so important.
Life before changing the valve. I'm going to stop here for a second because when we see patients with severe AS, the usual answer right away is, I feel fine, doc. What have you done last week or last month compared to years ago? I've slowed down. Why is that? I'm fatigued. I'm short of breath. So what I'm trying to say, patients ignore their symptoms significantly, especially with severe AS because it's such a slow progress. So we have to trigger or we have to identify the symptoms because if patients have no symptoms, there's no indication for us to give them the treatment. But most patients ignore their symptoms. And when we go and ask them, you know what, go and try to do what you used to do 6 months ago or a year ago, they usually come back and say, I'm out of breath and I can't do what I used to do last year. So that's life before TAVR. You talked about the multidisciplinary approach and what is the life after TAVR. So the TAVR itself is maybe 45-minute procedure in our lab. It involves a lot of preparation to this. We meet patients multiple times. We have to educate them about the procedure because the way we do it at Southwest is very minimal invasive with minimal sedation. So patients are widely awake. with little sedation while we put the TAVR in, while we put the valve in. So if we don't do the teaching, things don't go as smooth. So there's a lot of teaching involved and a lot of coaching for the procedure to go as smooth. So patients are aware and they expect the feelings of, you know, pushing in the groin and pacing and being lightheaded at some points of the procedure. After the TAVR, they have a routine follow-ups. 7 days, we check their wound. 30 days, we repeat the ultrasound of the heart, the echocardiogram. And then subsequently, we send them back to their cardiologist and with a routine, obviously routine echocardiogram, just to make sure the valve is working correctly. The feedback has been phenomenal. This is the most satisfying procedure I've honestly personally performed. Patients feel tremendously better, significantly better. They walk more, they're less short of breath, they lose weight right away. Usually, we've been seeing very sick patients who come every other week to the hospital for passing out, heart failure, chest pain. And we haven't seen any readmission so far for any serious problem after TAVR. So the results are right away. So picture this, you're changing a gradient or a pressure difference of 50 to 70 millimeter mercury to a zero. So there's no pressure difference after the TAVR. So the heart, which had a very high burden to pump against, is pumping much easier now, in a simple words.
As we wrap up, doctor, what would you like to tell other providers about TAVR and when you feel it's important that they refer?
I'm going to emphasize again about the importance of the prognosis of AS. Although patients may ignore their symptoms, we have to be very specific, trying to find out if they are really having symptoms from aortic stenosis. Once they have symptoms from aortic stenosis, I'm going to reemphasize the survival rate at 2 years is 50%. So in 2 years, 50% of these people will be dead if left untreated. Very important to identify murmurs on exam. If any concerning murmur, do an echocardiogram. And even with mild to moderate aortic stenosis, these patients will benefit from a cardiology follow-up because we don't want the patient to reach us with bad heart failure where the risk of TAVR from, instead of being low risk, it will become very high risk and the procedure may become more complicated at advanced stages of valvular heart disease. So the earlier we detect those patients or the closer is the follow-up, the easier, the lower risk is the procedure, the better is the outcome.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kayrouz, for joining us and telling us about the TAVR procedure at Southwest General Health Center. To refer your patient or for more information, you can contact Southwest General Health Center's 24-hour critical care nurse line at 1-877-SWG-BEAT. That's 1-877-794-2328. Or you can visit our website at swgeneral.com to get connected with one of our providers. That concludes this episode from the specialists at Southwest General Health Center. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all of our other podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole.